As it's National Volunteers Week, I'm joined by one of the RNIB's new trustees, Ozzy Clark-Binns, as he has done a lot of volunteering. Hello, Ozzy.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing?
Good, yourself, Baz?
Very well. I'm glad to have you here. Obviously, as a new trustee, it's nice to have you here on the radio station. But we are talking about volunteering today, and as you told me yesterday, you've done a lot of it. So how long have you been volunteering for?
I've been volunteering now for the past 15 years. I started when I was 13 years old.
And what was it that made you get into it at the age of 13? Because that's quite a big thing for a 13-year-old to do.
Yeah, I think it was always just, I like doing stuff. So I think even back when I was in primary school, me and four friends one year for Red Nose Day went to school and said, give us some money, we're going to buy some sweets and sell them and raise some more money for Red Nose Day. So I've always been interested in kind of doing things that help charities or that about using my time in different ways. And that was always just the perfect opportunity. When the opportunity came up, I was like, yeah, I want to do this. I'm interested in this.
So the first one was just a school event that you kind of really got
yeah,
into?
So, I mean, yeah, that was in primary school kind of school event. And then at 13, the first sort of big thing I did was I was an independent advisor to the Metropolitan Police for 6 years on their youth and policing strategy across the capital.
And how did you get into something like that?
So I'd been doing some other bits and pieces in Wandsworth where I went to school and volunteering. They invited a group of us down to New Scotland Yard, and about 500 young people invited. Then they invited about 160 of us back, and I had to kind of put my hand up and say why I think I should be involved. And I remember saying, you know, as 13, I was the youngest person in the room, and saying that if this was about all young people across the capital, then you need to hear my voice as well and the voice of those my age, because we're some of the youngest people around the table right now.
So from there, where did you move on to?
So from there, I did that work for 6 years, and then I went to join the Olympics. So I was an independent advisor to them for a year and a half before going on to be young mayor for the Athletes Village during the Olympic Games as well.
The question that kind of jumps to me when you've seen all this, these are quite big positions. Why is it that they're voluntary positions? Was there a point that you could have maybe transferred, or did you decide that you wanted to keep it completely voluntary?
I suppose I was still studying. So if you imagine at 13, obviously I'm in school, yeah. I can't go out and work just then. But I was studying, so for me it worked as a great opportunity to volunteer, but also to gain more experience and to do different things and meet different people. You know, that was, I think, for 18 months I spent, for example, advising on the Olympic Games and how they, you know, keep true to that promise to inspire a generation was wonderful, because I got to learn so many different things about how you deliver such a big event, what happens with it, who all the moving players are, what happens, you know, kind of in the games before us, what happens in the games after us, which obviously would have been Rio. And then at the same time, still put in my point of view and what I thought was important and how we engage young people for that. And so I remember we worked on the torch relay, for example. So when they first came to us about the torch relay, there was a page and a half of criteria. And the group I was with, we stripped it back to half a page of criteria so that everyone from 12 to 112 could apply. And people across that 100 span age range did apply as well.
And do you think that as a volunteer, people maybe will, not, I wouldn't say respect, but listen to what you're saying more so, because they know that you're there doing it out of your kind of your own love, and you're there because you want to be there, not because you're being paid to do it. Do you think there's part of that that comes with volunteering, that people will always maybe take what you say slightly stronger, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think people definitely see a real conviction in what you say, because you're there giving up your own time and putting in your extra hours, you know, after, you know, I was at the time, you know, I was in school, and then when I was doing the stuff with the Olympics, I was also working part-time at the weekends, so, you know, 5 days a week in school and college, then working at the weekends. And so people really take note of what you're saying. And I think the opportunities I had and the positions we were putting, it's very rare you'll have the head of HR and the heads of all the department around the table with you listening to your point of view as a young person, or will be sat across the table with the commission advising them on the aftermath, how they engage young people following the 7/7 bombings. Those opportunities don't come around very often, but people recognise that if you're in the room, it must be because you have something important to add, and they should listen and engage. And it's not always a bed of roses. There are difficult times. People think, actually, what do you know? Why are you here? So on and so forth. But that's when it's important to remind people in some of those roles that I'm an independent member. I'm not here to be the subject matter expert in everything, but I'm supposed to add the independent scrutiny and advice to what you're doing and to what's happening.
And since you started, obviously now you are essentially volunteering for the RNIB
as the new trustee,
the youngest ever trustee, I believe, as well.
No, I believe the record is tied with Ellie. I believe Ellie, the chair, current chair, started when she was 27 as well.
In the last 15 years, how has it changed? How has volunteering changed from maybe when you started to where we're at now? Have you seen a change in the landscape?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, back in 2012, so it, kind of whilst I was doing the Olympic stuff, I also work for a charity called City of London. So I volunteered full-time for 7 months in a school in Brixton. And at that point, City was about 2 or 3 years old. Whilst it'd been going for many years in the States, it was the first time it'd come to the UK. And what I've noticed is more and more organisations that focus on volunteering here in the UK and at home. So there's been a lot of programs aimed at young people saying you can go and volunteer anywhere else around the world, and there's more initiatives like City Here or Year Here and so on and so forth, or Step Up, the Step Up to Serve campaign, which are all about actually you can volunteer right here in the UK in your backyard in causes that matter to you, things that are important to you, and your perspective but also your time is valuable and valued by people who are supporting. So, you know, working in the school, that was amazing, working with young people. I was working with people who were aged 15 to 16, and working with them through the kind of academic journey was just a wonderful opportunity for me, because we weren't quite teachers, but neither were we kind of, we're not the same age. Then when young people, we were this kind of space in between that afforded us a different level of influence over them. And I think that's the benefit of being a volunteer, is people look at you differently to the quote-unquote staff around, and you can have different relationships.
I mean, you said that you were doing it full-time, so obviously there may be some negatives if people were wanting to volunteer full-time. How are you finding the time to, you know, work to pay your bills?
Yeah, so with City Year, we were given a stipend that helped support us to live. It wasn't a huge amount of money. I was fortunate enough, you know, to be able to live at home, so I wasn't paying for rent. We were also given sort of travel benefits that helped us getting around the capital as well. Luckily for me, the school I worked in was also just a bus ride away. So kind of there were things I was able to do that were able to help me. But at some level, the truth is, it's not a viable option for everyone to volunteer full time. And I was very fortunate, you know, to say to my family, something I'm really passionate about, education and people, this is what I'd love to do, and for them to be able to support me doing that, and then to, you know, finish doing that and continue volunteering right through the summer on the 2012 Games as young mayor as well. Not everyone can do that and be in that position, but even if you can just give an hour doing something here, talking to someone, helping someone, getting involved with a cause, sort of championing, scrutinizing, whatever it might be, that's always valuable. And that's an hour more dedicated towards that cause.
And I mean, you've kind of answered it by the way that you are talking so fluently about it all, but do you find it rewarding?
Yes, I absolutely love it. And I think there are different things, different ways you can volunteer. So some of it in the past, it's been, you know, sitting on boards. And, you know, as I said, when I was very young, it was about, you know, raising money for Red Nose Day, for example. And even now, you know, as I'm older and I'm a trustee for RNIB, the role is different, but it's still just as rewarding. Looking at all of the work that RNIB is doing across the UK and supporting people living with sight loss is just phenomenal. And that to me is very rewarding, knowing that my role as a trustee plays a part in helping to shape that. And I think, like all of the volunteers across RNIB, that's something we can all be immensely proud of.
And finally, and I kind of know what you're already going to say, but would you recommend it to other people if they've not already done it?
Yes. If you'd ask my friends, they'd all tell you that I always recommend it. Volunteer, get out there, you know, meet new people, learn new skills, have a great time.
And if there's anybody listening that might not know how to, have you got any advice at how to go about getting your own voluntary work under your belt?
Well, I think obviously if you listen to Connect Radio, I think you can have a look on the RNIB website around opportunities to volunteer with RNIB if you're not already. And if you are one of our RNIB volunteers, thank you. You're doing a great job. Thank you so much. I think other things to look at are what's around your local area. So are there causes that you're passionate about? Are there things that matter to you, that are important to you, that you feel like are being dealt with, aren't being dealt with? And sometimes maybe it's about talking to others and saying, this is a concern of mine, or this is something I'd like to do. How could we do this together? You don't have to volunteer by yourself.
Well, Ozzie Clark-Binns, thank you very much for talking to us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.